listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds Only Heard on CHLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We are going to get to some interviews today with some brand new projects happening out inside of British Columbia. So I'm very excited to get to those interviews today. Out though for DVD Tuesday for May the 5th first, you have some physical releases. You have the animated film Goat, Jacob Elordi and Margot Robbie star inside of Emerald Fennell's Wuthering Heights. You have Kevin James in Solo Mio, and you also have the television series It Welcome to Derry, season 1. I can recommend this one, it is very good. Also out, you have Onto Digital, Ready or Not 2. Let us get to some music to get your morning started. We're going to hear the Face Sitters with These Times off of the album Picture Day. And then we're going to hear Public Appeal featuring J.I.A. with the track Jealous off of the album Hello, My Name is Public Appeal. And then New Metric with Time is a Bomb off of the new album Romanticize the Dive. You are tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, CJLO, 1690 AM here in Montreal.
Stay home. voice is bloated from the crying. My drug intake has been alarming. Your words say harder than a bulldozer. Your words say never was so mean.
Thank you.
Surf Bay Côte West is a new show that stars Camille Felton as Margot Swan, a professional surfer who sees her life upended when she is driven to take radical action to protect the wild nature of her hometown on Vancouver Island. Once admired, she suddenly finds herself at odds with much of the community, including her own family, who favor tourism development over the preservation of an old forest. With her career now at risk, Margot must find her balance as the storm she has set in motion threatens to sweep away her Olympic dream. The show is shot in Tofino and on Vancouver Island, made its debut on April 24th. Surf Bay Côte West is one of the first bilingual French series produced in British Columbia. Today we speak with one of the producers of the show, Magali Chilon. Congratulations on the show and thank you for this interview today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
So what was the inspiration for creating this series of Surf Bay Côte West? And does Vancouver have a surfing community that the show wanted to highlight or bring to the attention?
Hi, yes. Well, the inspiration really came from my producing partner, Anthony Cauchy, who moved to BC from France about 17 years ago, around the same time as me from Montreal. He discovered Tofino and completely fell in love with the surf community there. It's actually one of the best surf spots in Canada, and there's a strong Francophone community as well, which we haven't seen represented on screen. So what makes it special is that it's very different from the typical California surf culture. It's more rugged, more intimate, and deeply connected to the environment. And we wanted to capture that West Coast energy in a way that feels fresh and authentic and a bit unexpected.
I think that you kind of answered my follow-up question about what is so special about the surfing community that it gets highlighted in film or television shows. And most of the time it's like, the allure of it with the California shows, or sometimes it's more of like the shark attacks, but this one's actually focusing on to the environmental aspects that come alongside of the surfing community as well.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, it represents BC very well because people in BC are so concerned about the environment and it represents really the surf community there.
So the show is cited at being one of the first bilingual shows filmed in British Columbia. So how is that one of the most important aspects about the show?
Well, it was really important for us because it reflects the reality of living in British Columbia, where you're in a predominantly English environment, but many of us live and work bilingually every day. And as a Francophone based here, that felt essential to represent. What makes the series stand out is that it's primarily in French, but rooted in that West Coast context. And we were able to build a truly bilingual production with about 60% Francophone cast and crew, which is quite rare. It gives the show an authenticity you don't often see. And it also helps normalize French language storytelling outside of Quebec, which is still underrepresented on screen.
Most definitely, I agree with that. And I feel that it's important that like Canada as a whole is a bilingual country, that should be noted. Yes. So
exactly.
So seeing as the show deals a lot with preserving the natural beauty of the world, what were some of the great filming locations where you shot around British Columbia?
Yes, well, we were very lucky to have such amazing locations. We spent, about 3 weeks in the Vancouver Island, so mainly in Tofino and Ucalit, which is about 5 hours from Vancouver. And then filming on incredible beaches like Chesterman and Cox Bay. which is raw, wild, and visually stunning. But we also shot in real local spots, which was really fun, like the Relic Surf Shop in Euclid, and then the trendy Hotel Z, which was our main hotel. And then we also shot another 3 weeks on the Vancouver mainland, where we filmed, you know, in the usual like Langley, Maple Ridge, but also the UBC Forest in Maple Ridge, and then Britannia Beach, which is more on the West Van. And so we really get a contrast between the coast, the forest, and the city. And then it showcased really well how BC is so beautiful.
I think that makes sense, you know, to have a little bit of the natural elements of the town of province of BC inside of the, as well, alongside the city as well, too. So, like, working with the cast and the main actor, Camille Feltham, who plays Marco Swan, and did Camille have prior experience when it comes to surfing before the role?
Yeah, well, it was really great experience working with the cast, and then Camille Felton, she has a strong experience as a lead actor. We can see her in La Dérape or Fugueuse or different roles, but she really anchored the role of Margot Swan. She hadn't surfed before, so that was a little bit of a challenge, but she committed fully and trained for several months with a coach to build the strength and the technique needed. But we also had like a really good stunt coordinator, Jennifer Clark, who's, you know, known for her work on Supergirl or The Last of Us on big shows. And she supported the cast alongside the surf coach, Jack Kinsley, to get everyone comfortable in the water. But obviously, I have to give a shout out to the big surf moves were done by surf doubles, Mattea Olain and O'Shea Green, who are real Tofino surfers, professional surfers there. They were the ones doing the amazing moves. And then by the end, you know, Camille was genuinely comfortable in the water, which really comes through on screen. They were very cold, but they did very well in the water.
So Surf Bay Cote West can currently be seen on TV Saint-Denis, and you can check out your local listings. Thank you so much for this interview today.
Thank you.
I normally like to end our interviews with a fun question. So what is a film or maybe a television series that you have seen recently that you can recommend that everybody checks out?
I mean, a film, just because it's something that this film meant a lot. I really love Train Dreams. It was one of my favorite this year. I felt like it should have won way more awards. I went in to see it without expectation, and it completely pulled me in. It's a very quiet film, but that builds up really well. And you really connect, and you're living alongside the main character. And, you know, the cinematography is incredible. Like every shot stood out. And everything was just on point with all levels, like the performance, the dialogue, the music, the story, the visual. So I really highly recommend that film.
I can recommend that one as well, too. A great pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time today, Magdalene.
Thank you.
this is Remy, and you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. You just heard The New Pornographers with The Electric Version. Up for your Cinematic Fridays now for Friday, May the 8th. Let's take a look at what is playing. Okay, so first off, you have the cinematic adaptation of the video game Mortal Kombat with Mortal Kombat 2. Then you also have the Sheep Detectives. And finally, you have a concert film here from director James Cameron, Billie Eilish, Hit Me Hard and Soft, The Tour. And that is what is releasing for your Cinematic Fridays for May the 8th. Once again, you're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CJLO 1690 AM. We get to our next interview now. We will now be talking to filmmaker and marine biologist Sonia Lee about their new docuseries, Our Ocean Table. Let's take a listen. On May the 1st, coinciding with the day that marks the beginning of Asian Heritage Month, sees the release of the original brand new docuseries, Our Ocean Table. Shot in British Columbia, the three-part program is hosted by Victoria filmmaker and marine biologist Sonia Lee. With the emergence of global interest in Korean culture, beauty, and food, Sonia partnered up with Canadian cultural journalist and Much Music host Hannah Song, and the two traveled through Vancouver, Nanaimo, and Calgary to share their stories on their upbringing and cultural identity, sustainable seafood, and the surprising connections that link them together. Today, we speak to Sonia Lee about the docuseries. Thank you for taking this time for this interview today, and congratulations on the show.
Thank you so much, Remy. Thanks for having me.
So, what inspired you to create the show about sustainable seafood and how it is important inside of today's life, but not only sustainable seafood, but food inside general and how it can be sustainable, and for people to start thinking about sustainability when it comes to their own food inside of life?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this whole series came together when I was making my cozy comfort food, which is sundubu jjigae, which is a Korean spicy, hot, like bubbling hot soup with soft tofu, and it's full of seafood. And I've always been an ocean person, and I didn't really know where that love of the ocean came from. And then one day I was making my sundubu jjigae, and then I realized there's so much seafood that goes into it. And then once I started looking around on our cultural tables, the seafood was everywhere. And as a marine biologist, I'm always thinking about, okay, like, how do we make sure we have fish for forever and make sure they're a healthy population? So what the conclusion I drew was, how do we make sure there's enough seafood forever so we can keep eating our cultural foods? And like you mentioned, like, you know, it doesn't have to be just Korean food or seafood in general. I think everyone has a special memory or a favorite dish. And so I think it's like a good point in time to really reflect on, okay, like, this is my favorite dish. I have so many memories associated with this dish. And like, what is the actual ingredient that goes in it? And like, what happens, like, what is happening to that ingredient? And how do we make sure we eat that forever? You know, I think it's not just like an environmental issue, you know, like with stuff happening politically, like, you know, that there's going to be like different ways that food get to us. And I think just understanding that at this point in time is really important.
How did your artistic background and love for British Columbia help with framing the lens on the series and the places that you visited?
Yeah, so I grew up on the West Coast. And, you know, I've always known that there's incredible fisheries out on this coast. And I wanted to learn. I lived on the East Coast in Halifax for a long time, and I've only recently moved back. So I was really wanting to investigate, like, what are the sustainable seafoods? Who are the sustainable harvesters? on this coast. And so we worked with three different harvesters in British Columbia, and we worked with Goodfish Co. and got to try out spot prawn fishing. We worked with Cascadia Seaweed, who farm kelp and seaweed. And then we also looked at oyster farmers. So I think a lot of the stories behind our ocean table is inspired by the seafood around British Columbia. But in terms of the artistic background, I had a co-director, John Chiang, and he is an absolutely brilliant, creative visual director. And I think a lot of the look of the series really came from his, artistic skills and his lens and his ability to make things like beautiful images.
Your co-host for the program is Hannah Song. So, what was it like working with Hannah Song, and what are the connections that you found that linked you together?
Yeah, so I grew up watching Hannah on TV. She was a reporter on Much Music when I was, a teenager. And so she was the only Korean person I saw growing up on TV. And, she is a renowned journalist, and I've been following her work for many years. But then during the pandemic, she started posting about the K-pop group BTS. And at the same time, I was also getting like really into BTS, but I had no one to talk about it with. And so I kind of slid into her DMs just to talk about K-pop. And then we just became internet friends and, met in person a few times. And when the series was starting up, like Hannah was the first person I wanted to bring on to the project because, I'm very comfortable talking about the sustainability and science and ocean angles, but I was less comfortable talking about kind of the more cultural pieces and the what it means to be like an immigrant Canadian. And I think, Hannah's been reporting on that for a long time, and she has this amazing ability to take so many different connections and be able to wrap it up in a pretty one sentence bow. And, that's incredibly helpful for, not just us as directors and filmmakers, but also the audience and coming to like those like connected conclusions. So I it was so inspiring to work with Hannah, and like what a privilege.
Perfect. So, what were some of the best dishes that you got to taste on the show? And maybe just a little bit of a follow-up here. Would you rather be involved with creating the dish yourself or trying someone else's dish that they prepared?
Okay, so the best dish I got to taste on the show. Oh my goodness, there were so many good dishes. I think my favorite thing was we went to a restaurant in Nanaimo called Horang, and Chef John has created kind of like his own twists on iconic Korean dishes, and he made a version of sundubu jjigae, which is like the spicy soup that I had spoken about earlier, but he put noodles in it. Usually there's no noodles in it, and I just thought it was like such a cool new way to eat something that was so familiar to me. Your follow-up question about would I rather be cooking or eating somebody else's food? I think that's such a tough question. I love cooking, but I also love being fed. So, yeah, that's both. And I will do both. You
Yeah,
just
I think
ask me if
that
you want to.
both
Yeah.
have their own like merits, essentially, because like when
Absolutely.
you're creating something, you feel like special inside after you've created that dish for yourself. You're always like happy to taste somebody else's dish as well too.
Oh yeah, I just feel like food, not just in Korean culture, but many other cultures around the world, I think it's a way to show love and affection. And so it's the way that like I show love by cooking for somebody, but I also can feel loved by receiving. So yeah, I think that's why it's a both answer.
So I want to thank you for your time today, and I'll remind our audience that Our Ocean Table can currently be streamed onto CBC Gem. As for an event that's happening very soon inside of Vancouver, if you're inside the Vancouver region, Cineplex Odeon International Village Cinemas, presented by the Vancouver Asian Film Festival. The date would be Thursday, May the 7th, 2026. The address would be 88 W Pendor Street, third floor, Vancouver. The time is 5:30. It's going to be a live Q&A following the screenings with director Sonia Lee and Joan Chang. So if you find yourself inside the Vancouver area, please do and check it out. We like to enter interviews with a fun question. So what is a film that you have seen recently that you can recommend that everybody seeks out?
Yeah, I recently rewatched one of my favorite films called Hunt for the Wilder People. It's by Taika Waititi. It's I think 10 years old now, but it's like a quirky, fun outdoor adventure. So yeah, please check it out.
Very good. So yeah, going back to food sustainability, I feel that your series highlights definitely a very important topic. One that I recently watched about food sustainability that I enjoyed myself was The Gardening Show onto Netflix. Very short series with Zach Galifianakis, all about having an agrarian lifestyle. So I think that with your series about sustainability inside of when it comes to seafood and the agrarian lifestyle, I think that things are going to be, people are going to be talking about changing their way of habits about going about food.
Amazing. Thank you for that recommendation, Linda. It's actually on the list, and thanks for the kind words from me. Thank you so
All
much for
right.
having me.
Oh,
killed, but you're not mine to die for anymore, so I must
You're tuned in and listening to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds, only heard on CHLO 1690 AM here inside of Montreal. We get to some new scores here. Here is Theodore Shapiro with the track Timeless from The Devil Wears Prada 2. Thank you. And that is going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for tuning in. A big thank you to our two interviews that we had today with both Sonia Lee for the new documentary series, the docuseries, Our Ocean Table, and also Surf Bay Cote West, and one of the producers from the show, Magali Chilon. Thank you so much for the interviews today. We will be back on to next week's show with an anniversary review. Danny will be joining me, and we'll be talking about The Big Sleep. This is a blind spot anniversary review for me that I'll be watching for the first time. So very excited for that one. However, I wanted to close today's show with the original song from Watership Down. I recently watched it. It is a film that is very important, I feel, when it comes to the realm of animation. And the original song, Bright Eyes, from Art Garfunkel, is such a great song to go alongside the score from the film as well too. And I hope to play some of the score onto a future episode of At the Movies. But for now, we'll close today's show with Bright Eyes from Art Garfunkel from Watership Down. Thank you all for tuning in. Have a good week at the movies. Et bon cinéma.
So brightly, suddenly burn so pale. Bright. I surely would.